Good morning, friends. I want to remind you that I've been reading through the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And the story I'm not reading is the temptation of Christ, but that usually comes in during Lent. So I've skipped right to really what is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry after his baptism. I'm reading from Matthew 14, 18 through 25. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And Jesus went from there, and he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And his fame spread all throughout Syria, and they brought him all the sick who were afflicted with various diseases and pains and demonics and epileptics and paralytics, and Jesus cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and even beyond the Jordan. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. I'm sure I've told you a story about one of my favorite girls I met. At the time I told the story, she was young, probably 9 or 10. She's probably like in college now and has a master's, who knows. But when she was little, Jackie was a girl that was... She was well-liked by classmates. She was active. She kept her parents on their toes. She's what we would call now an old soul, just a girl that would say things beyond her years. And she had talked about quite a bit to her father and her mother that she wanted to be like Dr. Gresham. Dr. Gresham was a member of the church, a small church, a small-town doctor who still did crazy things called house calls. And Jackie really wanted to be like him. And her dad finally said to her, "Why do you want to be like Dr. Gresham?" And she said, "Well, he's trusted, people really love him, and people respect him." Big words out of a 9-year-old girl. She says, "I just want to be like him. I want to follow in her footsteps." And her father decided she was kind of serious about this, so he set up an informal internship. He talked to Dr. Gresham and said, "Can my girl come down to your office after school a couple of days and just hang out in the reception's office and see what goes on?" And Dr. Gresham said, "Yes, and I'm going to do some home visits, and I know people that would really like to have her come, so she can come to some of my home visits." And during that first month of the internship, the father noticed that she started using some of the language that Dr. Gresham would use a lot. His vocabulary would come into hers, and he had a slight limp from World War II, I think it was, maybe it was the Korean War, and she started walking with that, and his father said, honey, what are you doing? And she said, "Well, I want to walk in the footsteps of him, so I'm starting to be like Dr. Gresham." And the father didn't say anything, really wise, and said, "It doesn't mean just imitating him. You have to watch and discover why people like to be around him, why he's trusted, why he's loved, and then you make it your own." And she said, "Okay," and bounced off to the next thing. Well, what he noticed, he asked her again, said, "Tell me about what you've observed." And she said, "Well, he's trusted because he listens to everyone and he doesn't tell people secrets. And he listens to old people and young people, and it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, or," she said, "what color you are, he listens to everyone." And she said, "That's why he's loved. And he's respected because he treats everyone fairly. He tells them the truth, and he doesn't talk down to people. She said, you know how grown-ups do to kids? And the father just nodded. And that was it for a while. The internship went on, and she brought a new friend home from school. Her name was probably Jackie. We'll make her Jackie. And she wasn't the kind of kid that that the girl would have hung out with, just unusual. And he said, honey, tell me why you brought this new friend home. And she goes, well, I realized that I had never talked to her before, didn't ever listen to her. So I went and had a conversation, and I like her. And the daughter was a bit surprised because she wasn't like one of the kids she usually would have brought home. They didn't go to the same church. But Dr. Gresham's actions kind of made her open her circle wider. And then the father knew that she was really learning why Dr. Gresham was loved and respected, and made it her own. The gospel that we're reading today talks about following Jesus too, about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And I think in some way learning what drew people to him and then living it out ourselves. And the Bible, the Gospels mention the story about the first calling, but they offer different details in it. These first five verses, Jesus is the inviter. He makes disciples out of ordinary people, simple and clear, and it's a captivating call, follow me. But even though I say it's simple and captivating, I find it really frustrating because I'd like to know what he said. Partly because I'd really like to know what he said, and partly it's the ego. I'd like to know it so I could say it a lot and people would come to this church. I mean, I really want to know, why did they follow him? And I'm going to go on being frustrated because it is not in this passage and it's nowhere else. I think the story of Jesus' first actions got kind of telescoped into something small. I suspect it was longer than this. There probably was some conversation. But the writer of the story, the teller of this story, really thought the focus was on Jesus said, come, and the disciples do. It's the start of the faith. It's a journey. And that's what we're given. And though we can read in the gospel, know something more about the Sea of Galilee, for instance. It's not an ocean. It's not a sea. It's a big old lake, and it's fresh water, and it's not as big as Lake Tahoe, but it's big, and big kind of rough cliffs around it, and the winds come in and out, and there's some villages, but not many, because it's rather desolate, but pretty good for fishing. And the fishing wasn't like we expect now. It's not you did it with a hook, which made me bitter because I really didn't want to be hooked by Jesus as a kid. That always bothered me. Let me fish for you. Ah! It would have been more of a net that was thrown out and would have either been dragged along the shore or it would have been out in the water. That's how Jesus, and that's how they fished then. And what I know about it is Andrew and Peter were probably fairly poor men because they weren't fishing in a boat. They would have done what is called dragnet fishing. They would have taken a net between the two of them, gone out into the water, maybe up to their knees or their hips, and they would have walked in and saw what they could have dragged in. It was the kind of fishing you did to feed a family, maybe to sell a little bit extra and you get a little coin change. They were probably worked in a hard kind of unspoken rhythm between the two. They were looking to feed their families and their community. And Jesus just says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they followed. They dropped their nets and came. James and John were a little more affluent because they actually had a boat and they could go out into that sea and go deep and catch fish, kind of read the water or listen to other people and catch as much as they can. And that time of day, they were in their boat mending, taking care of the nets. They probably had hired men who worked with them. And yet Jesus gives them an invitation, and they leave their boats and their net and their father, and they go. And I just wonder why. What was it about Jesus that just they left everything and went? We get some clues later on. It said that Jesus was teaching in the temples. He came in and taught. He was teaching good news. Do you know what good news, the word of that in Greek? Evangelism. Oh, he did good news. He was going where the people were, and he was healing people and making them whole. Another place in the Gospels, they say he spoke with authority, and people were astounded by his teaching. Not ordinary teaching. He was saying something new, speaking truth, and people heard it, and it kind of churned their insides, and they came. Like those four that said, I'll make you fisher of men, and they said, okay. I mean, I'm caught by it's an invitation by Jesus. Come and see. It's what it says in John. I kind of like that. They say, come and see. And what I love about it is you don't have to know everything. It says, come take a look. Come and see what's happening. If you're curious, if you have questions, come. You don't have to know it all. And there you are on a journey. It may have been a journey when I was a little girl, like at 16, when I had this t-shirt, yellow long sleeve with an applique on it, said, Jesus, Fisher of Men. I loved wearing it. Because it kind of said, one, I'm Jesus, I'm about something. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than just wearing a t-shirt. It's about coming alongside Jesus, willing to follow after the ways of Jesus. And I'm also caught by the sense that Jesus went where people were. They were out working. And I got to tell you, I don't think they smelled too good, and they weren't too clean. They were just in their everyday lives, and Jesus came there. He also came to the temple like you all. You are at least trying to look decent on Sunday. You're here waiting for some good news or some hope or some direction, some peace. But what the scripture reminds us, it's also going to happen when you're not looking so good. When you're at the bus stop or the coffee shop or home or in the grocery store or trying to find your way while you're reading your phone at the same time, that's where Jesus will find us. So I came to understand the lack of specificity in this story, this absence as a graciousness, because it says, in your day, in your time, God will find a way to speak to you and will also give us the words. It's God fills up the encounters of where we are. So I have to play again with the images. What does it mean to be called by God, and what are we called to? What does it mean to follow me? It's interesting, the translation of follow means come after me. It means just walk a couple steps behind and listen and look. Jesus is asking for loyalty, to follow. It's also asking for obedience, not just a laziness, I'm going to follow you when I'm ready and then I'll come back in a bit. It's asking to come and learn and to change and invite other people too. And it doesn't mean a heroic performance like you're a Mother Teresa, because there's not many of those around, and you know she wasn't perfect. What it means is a willingness to follow three steps behind with Jesus, to be involved in that, to maybe hope that it will speak to your life and you will live in a way of love, of how do we care for each other? How do we care for our neighborhood? How do we care for our world? It's activeness. It says you got to do something more than just a little bit. It might mean just praying, okay, God, use me today, or don't make me so closed off to you, or get me outside of myself. Follow me. Come after, and I will make you fish for people. And if you're a little scared of the fishing image, The next 3 weeks, we're having a class on evangelism, which means good news. And we're just going to learn some ways about how do we make the invitation. How do we get our vision? How do we invite people? And not because we want numbers. I mean, it's not such a bad thing. But it's saying this life of faith is really good. It's made a difference in my life. And I want to make sure that other people have that invitation, that there is hope and justice and welcome in the world. Because I do believe the way of Jesus is a way worth following. I mean, I've been a minister for 30 some odd years, but I've been a fisher and a fish for much longer than that. And I got to tell you, the beauty is what I understood when I was 13 is different when I'm 30, and it's different when I'm 58 or 59. I can't remember which I am. That happens when you get to a certain age. But I still think the way of Jesus is one worth following. So we take this Sunday and every Sunday to say, Jesus, help us to follow you. And if I think that person next to me is perfect and they know everything, here's what the pastor can tell you, probably not true. We're just coming as we are, asking the God of love come into our lives. And that's enough. May it be so today and every day. Amen.